Bombas has totally re-engineered socks with comfort innovations that add up to a way more comfortable pair of socks. 2 years of R&D led to multiple improvements of the sock design, performance, and comfort. And an arch support system that provides extra support where you need it most, and it feels like a hug around your foot. And Stay Up technology, 133 tension levels were tested to find the perfect tension that's comfortable, stays in place while not being too loose, and never leaves a mark. Plus super soft cotton that you will never want to take off. Best pair of socks ever, bar none. And one pair sold equals one pair donated. I would never tell you to do something that I don't do myself. Bombas are the socks that I wear every single day. I'm wearing them right now, and they are extremely comfortable. And right now, you get 20% off your first order if you go to bombas.com/Rome. That's BOMBAS.com. You'll get 20% off your first order. Bombas.com/Rome. Codename Rome. Best pair of socks ever. Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Hope you had a great weekend. And I hope that week's off to a great start. I've got a very, very good Monday show for you. You know, every Monday show is great, especially during the NFL season. But particularly today, coming off the weekend that we did, and it's a getaway day for me because I'm going to do the show here, fly to New York tonight, do the show tomorrow in New York City. So it's getaway day. Midweek New York run, fired up for it. Tell you about that later on. We're broadcasting from the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Nice to have you here. Interviews are setting up like this. I've got one next segment. Charles Davis, NFL on Fox analyst. So that's coming up next. In the meantime, if you want to call, do it right now. 1-800-636-8686. Monday is a busy day. Coming off the weekend, we've got our RPO podcast, Rome Price Opinion. Trevor is fired up. In fact, Trevor's on fire with his picks. If you want to get down, if you want to make money, listen to that. He is 6-3-1 against the spread. If you're not listening and if you're not getting down based on what he's telling you, you're losing opportunities to make money. That's coming up later on today. So, next segment. Charles Davis, NFL on Fox analyst. In fact, we will load up our number one. We'll go back-to-back. L.A. Chargers safety, Jahlil Adai, is right after that. 9:40 Pacific time. The Chargers look really good right now. Also, second hour is wide open. In the last segment today in studio, pro surfer Bethany Hamilton. So we have got a show for you now, 1-800-636-8686. I'm looking for you to follow me on Twitter, always at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Now, you know I'm going to start with last night's game. You know I'll start with last night's game, but I'm probably not going to start the way you think I'm going to start. I almost never, ever leave this show with a team that lost. But I'm going to do so this morning. I'm starting with the team that lost 43-40 last night. I'm starting with the team that went into Foxborough 5-0 and left Foxborough 5-1. And the reason I'm doing this, because while there is no such thing as a good loss, that was damn close to a good loss for Kansas City. They played their asses off. You see, we knew what the Patriots could do at home under the lights in a big game. We did not know what KC could do in that situation. We did not know how Patrick Mahomes would respond. But both he and they showed up huge. And it wasn't just facing Bill Belichick and his crew in Foxborough in prime time. It was facing them after they had extra time to prepare coming off a Thursday night game. So you give the hood man that much time. You're asking for trouble. I don't care who you're matching up with. You give that guy that much time, you're asking for a lot of trouble. And Mahomes and KC were in trouble in the early going. It looked like Patty Big Guns' official welcome to the NFL moment. Couple of picks in terrible spots. No touchdowns in the first half. This crazy dynamic and exciting offense was reduced to 3 field goals. Even worse, Mahomes finally looked like a guy making his 7th NFL start. He looked uncomfortable. He looked unsteady. He looked, I mean, I don't want to say it, but he looked unsure. That's something we've never seen from him before. Hesitant and unsure. I don't even know that it existed in this guy's DNA. Everybody else, sure, but not Mahomes. He's different. He's not like anybody else. But that's not unusual, especially for a freakish talent like Mahomes, because that's what happens when you face Belichick and Brady. They make you hesitant. They make you unsure. They make good quarterbacks look really bad. Plenty of teams with Super Bowl aspirations have rolled into New England over the years only to get punched in the face and told to sit the hell down. And that's how it looked, because they were down 28-9, and that one had blowout written all over it. My man was finally going to get his comeuppance, and the hot takers already had their moment was too big for Mahomes lava ready for today. But then the second half happened. Then Mahomes to Kareem Hunt for 67 yards happened.
Mahomes flush from the pocket up the field. Catch made, Kareem Hunt, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, Kareem Hunt, touchdown, Kansas City.
Yeah, suddenly he had a game. Suddenly a blowout was now a one-point game. Well, almost. Not before a field goal and a strip sack of Brady, followed by Mahomes to Tyreek Hill. Then you had a game.
Delayed blitz by New England. Mahomes, corner pattern right. He wants Tyreek Hill, makes the catch. Far side, touchdown, Kansas City. The cheetah burned him last year. He burns him tonight.
Now we had a game. Now that blowout was a one-point game. 27-26 entering the fourth. Patriots hit a field goal. They go back up by four. Then Mahomes goes back to Hill again.
Mahomes looking left. Fade pattern left side as trying to dive for the ball. Tyreek Hill, he's got a touchdown. Kansas City, Tyreek Hill with a sliding catch.
And then just like that, the Chiefs were not only back in the game, they were leading the game. They went from being blown out by 15 to up by four in a matter of minutes on the road in Foxborough, where Super Bowl dreams do go to die. Patriots quickly score twice. They go back up by seven. At that point, it felt like it should be done, but it wasn't, because with Pat Mahomes, it's never done. With Mahomes and Hill, they weren't done. And at this point, you pretty much have to kill Mahomes to beat Mahomes, because if this dude is still breathing, he's dangerous and he's dropping daggers.
Play action fake, outside rush. Mahomes stepping up. He's throwing deep. He's got Tyreek Hill wide open at the 35 left, sprinting. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City and New England for the second straight year sees the cheetah go for 75 yards on a catch.
And of course, it was Mahomes to Hill to tie it. Chiefs radio. Man, there's something about Hill. There's something about Hill. I mean, this dude's done some pretty horrible things off the field. But on the field, I've never seen a guy get to that gear as quickly as he does. That guy, like, goes from first to fifth. And of course, the Patriot fans went loser and threw beer on him. And of course, the Chiefs left too much time on the clock for the Patriots. But that's not the point. That's beside the point. For the first time in a long time, hell, for the first time ever, winning was not the point. It was going on the road and showing up the way that they did. Losing to New England was more impressive than beating the Chargers or the Steelers or the Jags. And that's taking nothing away from those wins. They were really nice wins. And Kansas City was really impressive in those wins. But last night, they were even more impressive in defeat. They sent a message in defeat. No, they're not perfect. Their defense still has questions. But Patrick Mahomes has answers, a hell of a lot of answers. Just ask Jason McCourty. McCourty said, quote, he's going to be special, end quote. He went on to say that Mahomes, quote, goes out in the first half of the game, throws two picks, and did not blink at all. He came out, he played his game, and was able to get on the edge a few times and make big plays. He was everything we saw on film, end quote. Yeah, that and more, a hell of a lot more. Personally, I cannot wait to see them run this back in the postseason. And when they do, it would not surprise me at all if the Chiefs turn the tables on the Pats when it happens. Because if you didn't know before, you know now. You know now about Mahomes and the Chiefs, because at this point, nobody wants any part of these guys. And that's the reason that I'm going to break format and start the show with somebody who lost. something I never, ever do, because they look that good doing it. And they did play their asses off. You know what you get with the Patriots. That's why I didn't start with them. You know what you get with the Patriots, and now we know what you get with the Chiefs. Not only does the AFC West run through them, after what I saw last night, the entire AFC may also. Again, the rare time I lead the show with a team that lost. The rare time that I don't give a damn about the scoreboard. The rare time that something did live up to the hype. What a great game that was. That was an amazing thing to see. 1-800-636-8686. Alvin, thank you.
I'm Batman.
He's Keith Arnold. He was in studio. All right, so the first email reads, it's going to set the tone, right? Dear Jimmy, I recently watched Alvin's high school basketball footage. That little dude has mad skills. Can he play defensive back for us next Sunday? Signed, Pat Mahomes. Casey, New Hampshire. I'll tell you this about Alvy. Alvy, Father Time is undefeated. He may be past his time, but back in the day, Alvy had a 40-inch vert. Back in the day, he may have. Although basketball was his game. Dear Jim, for the sake of time, may I make a few suggestions for your show today? Interview all of your guests and take all 57 of your commercial breaks during the first 11 minutes of the show. That way, you will have 2 hours and 49 minutes remaining to take calls from Rex in Albuquerque, Matt in LA, and Josh in Detroit. Clock mismanagingly yours, Andy Reid. Were everybody remembering to turn their clocks forward in 3 weeks? Signed, Den Lesks. Yeah, Den Lesks, I mean, your tweets aren't easy to look at. Your emails aren't easy to read. Come on, man, you're not helping them. You're hurting them. Would you get off Andy Reid's back? Yeah, two heavyweights. Two heavyweights standing in the middle of the ring, trading haymakers, hands at their waist. And yet you want to just come in here and crack on Andy Reid for his clock mismanagement. Boy, Sarah T is back with a vengeance. She was gone for a while, and now I can't shake her. Hi, Jim. Boy, is my thumb tired. Flipping from the Pats game to the Sox game all night, my thumb got a better workout than a bum looking for a ride. And please, Jim, don't go dissing us Pats fans because somebody splashed a little beer in Tyreek's face. He's no Eagle Scout. He's lucky that's all they did to him. Signed, Salty Sarah T, Providence, Rhode Island. Wore me waking up on a Monday morning, winning yet again. She's back. No, Sarah, you're right. I did say that about Hill. I said this guy's done some pretty horrible things off the field. But I do want to say that on the field, he's done some pretty amazing things. But honestly, when I think about him, that's what I think about first. What he did off the field, not what he's done on the field. But you don't need to hit the guy with a beer either, Sarah. And finally, Romy. Even I think the Jags getting absolutely trucked by the Cowboys was pathetic. Regards, Conor McGregor's rocket arm. Geoff in Lincoln. War celebrities learning to never attempt anything remotely athletic at a pro sporting event. War celebrities absolutely butchering Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Yeah, but the weird thing about that, the only thing more bizarre than bringing in a guy who just got choked out to motivate your team is they brought in a guy who just got choked out and he did motivate their team. They haven't looked that good in a long time. It worked. It worked. All right, when we come back, Charles Davis joins us. We'll talk some NFL with him. Jahlil Adai, Chargers safety, right after that. The second hour is open. Clones, football season is here. You know this. It's time to get in on the action with MyBookie.net. You should listen to Trevor Price on the RPO, then go to MyBookie.net. MyBookie.net is the industry-leading sports action website that offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, and all your favorite sporting events. You can take a side. You can predict scores or track player props or bet our new horse. MyBookie.net lets you play without cash or other purchases. Use the promo code ROME100 when you register for your account and then get a 100% sign-up bonus. Did the game already kick off? Does not matter. MyBookie.net has in-game live action on every live major league event, even esports. So there's no better time to join MyBookie.net than right now. Go to MyBookie.net, open up an account, join in. Use the promo code ROME100. When you register, you'll get a 100% sign-up bonus. Signing up is easy. You have access to your own personal dashboard. That's MyBookie.net, promo code ROME100. MyBookie.net, promo code ROME100. No deposit necessary. Terms and conditions do apply for entertainment purposes only, and it is void where prohibited.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Really quickly, the Queen ain't happy. The Queen is not happy. Danica from Jayville and Nika989 tweets, forget the bat signal. I'm putting out the tenderoni alert for this Sunday after that dumpster fire in Dallas yesterday. She then chased that tweet by saying, quote, I need a slump buster. Is the flight deck available? Danica asking for a slump buster. As promised, we're talking all things NFL. I'm joined right now by an NFL Network analyst, an NFL on Fox analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at CFD22. My guest is Charles Davis. Charles, good morning. What's up? How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. I love when they call for the slump buster. I mean, you can't beat that.
Dude, can I tell you something, Charles? If you knew who she was talking about, you'd like it even better. The flight deck. My man. Appreciate you saying it. So listen, you were on the call for the Carolina-Washington game yesterday. How impressed were you with the way Washington bounced back from that ugly performance against New Orleans on Monday night?
I was impressed, Jim. I wasn't surprised. And I know it's easy to say afterwards, but just look at the history of this team with Jay Gruden as the head coach. They tend to bounce back after big losses and play really well. The consistency has been their issue. You know, I talked with Jay about it, and he's been very open and told my crew before the Green Bay game, we are a front-running football team. For whatever reason, when we're down, we don't play nearly as well. We have not shown the great comeback capability. But if we get out and get on top of you, look out. And what did they do against Carolina? Jumped out to a 14-0 lead. They were embarrassed about Monday night. They had their resolve, but they played from the front. Like my good friend Randy Moss of horse racing fame said, when a horse breaks from the gate fast, he caught a flyer out of the gate. And when Washington does that, they're a lot tougher team to beat.
Charles Davis joining us. You know I love a horse racing analogy. Hey, listen, in your position, in my position, we're supposed to be objective. We can't play favorites. I get that. I got to say, though, I was really happy to see Josh Norman bounce back the way he did against his former team. I love the guy because there had been so much talk all week long about maybe he had gone Hollywood, maybe he had lost something off his game. What did you see while you were watching him?
Well, I talked about it during the game, Jim, and what was interesting about it is all the things you said, as we well know, are so true. Different people analyzing him, okay? I've seen where my colleague at NFL Network, Charlie Casserly, had said that he's the third best corner on the team, behind Quentin Dunbar, the converted wide receiver, and Fabian Moreau out of UCLA. A colleague of ours in the business, Booker McFarland, had said on Monday Night Football, he's no longer the top corner on the team, Quentin Dunbar is. Well, he has pride. He was stung by that. And I thought that in this game, he played his best game of the year. Wasn't perfect. They attacked him late in the game and got some plays on him, Jim. But prior to that, Carolina had studiously avoided him. They aimed all their big shots at Quentin Dunbar. So that told me that in Carolina's estimation, even though Josh wasn't playing at the level that people expect from him, they expected him to play well in this ball game, and they still had full respect for him. He had an interception and a forced fumble in the game. I think Josh Norman is on his way to being back towards being the Josh Norman you're looking for. I don't know that he's the lockdown guy that people have made him out to be, but I also don't think that he's as bad as people said after the New Orleans game either.
Charles Davis joining us. All right, so last night, Kansas City goes to New England, and in the first half, Patrick Mahomes looked a little like you'd expect somebody to look, making just his seventh NFL start, but then he turned it around in the second half. Charles, I mean, you've been around this game a long, long time. How many quarterbacks have you seen with the composure of Patrick Mahomes at this stage of their career?
Very few. Very few, and when we add to it, in New England, Sunday night, New England having 10 days to get ready. And what did we all say, Jim, right? What we always say, oh, my God, Belichick that much time with a young quarterback? Well, as you noted, he had a couple interceptions early, stayed with it. But I do think there's a big part of the makeup of Patrick Mahomes is pretty incredible. But growing up in that major league, big league locker room with his dad as a pitcher, being around people, you know, my colleague, Alex Rodriguez over at Fox, he's Patrick Mahomes' hero. And the dad has often said that Alex would treat him like an adult. He was the one that would say, hey, you're in the clubhouse, let's do this, let's do that, let's go hit the balls, let's shag, let's do all that. This kid had a chance to be around these big-time elite people and see how they did it. And along with his own personal makeup, it's come out pretty well. And the last thing I would say, Jim, is he had a chance to learn poise and composure at Texas Tech, too, because most of their games were shootouts. And he was often playing from behind trying to rally his team.
Charles Davis, my guest. You know, when you talk about Mahomes and his background, he's just so unique in so many different ways. That said, you're involved in the show Sports Stars of Tomorrow, and it profiles and it interviews high school athletes. So how different are today's high school athletes from the ones of, say, maybe a decade or two ago? Are they more mature? Are they more polished now than they were then?
They are everything that you just said and uber confident. Okay, look, we've always had confident kids coming up, all right? You had to be in order to play. But there was also, Jim, a time where you, quote-unquote, waited your turn. Does that make sense?
Like,
when you rolled into the new program, going from high school to college, you kind of had to sit back and, okay, I got to wait for the veterans and let your talent come through and beat out a guy. Well, these young people nowadays, Jim, they're playing elite tournaments in AAU or 7-on-7 flag football at a younger age. They're going to these things like the opening, right, the elite players. They're seeing each other on the camp circuit, so they're all kind of doing, you know, everybody talks about the NBA and let's get together and form super teams. These kids recruit each other.
Hmm.
When I was that age, okay, and I mean, it's back in the dark ages of the 80s, when you heard about a great player across the country, there was a mythical quality to him because you just didn't see him. There weren't highlights, you know, there wasn't this. You heard about that guy, go, wow, I heard he's really great. These kids all know each other now, and they are not cowed when they go to the college level. They go in expecting to take someone's job, expecting to play right away, and that's a big positive for teams. But when you're trying to talk about harmony and dynamics, it's a lot tougher for the older guys now because they don't wait their turn anymore. These kids are precocious to the nth degree, and let's face it, they're on television. They play on TV from the time they're 12 years old. Going to these big-time places is not going to intimidate them at all.
Charles Davis joining us. You can watch him on NFL Network and Fox Sports. Or as you mentioned, back in the dark ages of the 80s. Let me go back to your career for a minute. You were a DB at Tennessee. You went to training camp with the Cowboys. What was that experience like? What do you remember about that?
It was a great experience, Jim, and I'll tell you this very quickly. My dad was a high school and college basketball coach and played football and baseball in college at Bluefield State in West Virginia, which at the time was a historically black college and university. So he knew the score. So I go to camp. It was the waning days of Tom Landry as a head coach. The Cowboys weren't as good as they had been, but there's still some pretty recognizable people there. Everson Walls, Michael Downs, Danny White was the quarterback, you know, right on down the line. So I go, I do my thing, blah, blah, blah. I wasn't good enough. They cut me. So the morning I got cut, the Turk knocks on the door and says, hey, Davis, Coach Landry wants to see you and bring your playbook. So I've been around sports my whole life, Jim, so I knew exactly when I was getting cut. So before I ran over to see Coach Landry, I called my dad. Now, this is the old days. I had to get the calling card out and hit the rotary phone. So I called him that morning back in New York, and I said, hey, Dad, I think I'm getting cut today. And he said, why? And I said, well, the man just knocked on the door and said I had to see Coach Landry. And he goes, oh, well, heck, he might want to, you know, just tell you you need to do this or try and help your game, what have you. I said, Dad, the man told me to bring my playbook. He said, oh, you're cut.
That's awesome.
Never forget it. That's my biggest memory right there. The old man at that point just reverted to being a coach and an athlete and forgot he was dad.
Right.
He's like, oh, yeah, you're cut.
Oh, that's great. That is tremendous. So do you remember, was there anything to the conversation with Tom Landry? If you're going to get cut, it may as well be by a legend like Tom Landry.
Yeah.
What do you remember about the conversation?
It was terrific because he said, you know, there's a standard form where they have to check why they're cutting you. And the standard form is performance not up to standards or something like that. That's what you kind of have to say. And I said, Coach, is it okay if I disagree with that? And he said, yeah, you can disagree, but, you know, it's not going to change anything. I said, I know. And he just looked at me and said, son, what are you going to do now? I said, well, Coach, I graduated 4 years at Tennessee. I played my fifth year as a redshirt as a graduate student. He said, oh, what in? I said, in history. He said, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, I plan to go back to school, and if I don't hook on anywhere else, I'll go back to school and get my graduate degree. He said, well, that's terrific. He said, I'd love to hear that. That's what you need to do. So he was very nice. Fast forward X number of years down the road, I'm working for the United States Olympic Committee in Colorado Springs. Tom Landry's in town to give a talk that a number of us attended, and after it was over, able to meet with him and go by, and all my friends were there like, you got to say something. I said, hi, Coach, I'm Charles Davis, and you're not going to remember me, but you cut me from the Cowboys. And he looked at me and he said, probably one of my mistakes. I said, well, Coach, I'd say with your record, I doubt it was a mistake. I appreciated the opportunity. That was the last time I had a chance to meet with Coach Landry.
That is good stuff. NFL Network analyst and NFL on Fox analyst. You can follow him on Twitter as well, at CFD22, Charles Davis, my guest. That's a great way to start the week, Charles. Thanks so much, man. Really appreciate you, and great to have you back on.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jim. I appreciate it. You take care of yourself. We'll talk down the road, I'm sure.
You got it. You know it. Really enjoyed that. Charles Davis. I had even more to talk to him about, but we got to keep moving now. And that was some good content. Great, great Tom Landry story. When we come back, I'm telling you, the Chargers, in part because the Rams are undefeated, the Chargers, to me, are not getting the run or the respect that they deserve. Another big performance yesterday. Put a beat down on America's team. So when we come back, L.A. Chargers safety Jahlil Adai joins me. Second hour is wide open. In the last segment today, Bethany Hamilton, pro surfer, joins me here in studio. So it's a good Monday. Come right back. We're talking Charger football next. But
live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. I made the point that I think the Chargers are not getting the run. They're not getting the respect that they deserve, that they've earned. Maybe that's in part because the Rams are undefeated, but the Chargers made a statement yesterday. We are joined right now by a safety for the Chargers. He had 9 tackles in that 38-14 win over Cleveland. For the season, 33 tackles, a pass defense, and a fumble recovery. He was undrafted in 2013 out of Central Michigan. The Chargers are 4-2. They're in second in the AFC West. They go up against Tennessee on Sunday. That is a 9:30 a.m. game on CBS. Getting ready for a roadie, actually. We are joined by Jahlil Adai. Jahlil, nice to have you on. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good, man. I'm great. It's great to have you. Thanks for doing it. So you went to Cleveland yesterday. You blew out a Browns team that had a lot of momentum and a lot of buzz coming in. How good did it feel to go on the road and then turn in a dominating win like that against a good Cleveland team?
Well, it felt good. I mean, anytime you can go on the road in this league and get a W, it's awesome. But to do it in that fashion, it felt good for us. It's a good confidence booster. Going into the game, Cleveland was a team that was hot, was rolling, had a lot of pieces to the puzzle that can allow them to be successful. And I think we did a good job all three phases coming out and getting the job done.
You know what, you're right. They were rolling coming in. You know they felt good about themselves. As a defense, you guys had 5 sacks. You had a couple of interceptions. Baker Mayfield, generally you made his day miserable. What did you see on film before that game, and what was the game plan going in?
We wanted to just pressure him. We wanted to have tight coverage. Pressure. Coach always says the rush and cover works together. We covered well. They got sacks, and they brought pressure to him on the front end. The linebacker, whoever blitzed for the secondary, brought pressure. We came away with 2 interceptions. Shout out to Desmond King on that.
Jahlil Adai joining us. Now, you, looking at your game, you bring a versatility in that you can play safety, and at the same time, so does Derwin James. You've played free safety and strong safety, and he can also line up in different spots. So how valuable is that versatility, and what to do to have that level of versatility for the entire defense as a unit?
It's awesome because teams never know what we're going to do. 1 week I'm back at free. Next week I'm down as strong and vice versa for Derwin. You know, and Coach Gus Bradley, it gives him a lot of flexibility to do different things and get guys in situations and put them in places so they can make plays. He does a good job of using allowing players to make plays and put them in position to use their strengths. And I think we did a good job of that. And it just speaks volume of what our coach is doing in the secondary, Coach Ron Miles, getting us both ready each week in and week out, whether it's I'm playing strong and he's playing free or vice versa. So it's a good thing. We got to keep it rolling.
All right, so if you guys can switch back and forth like that and you've got that kind of versatility, how would you describe the relationship and the chemistry you have with Derwin?
First of all, he's from Florida. I'm from Florida. So we're both Florida boys. So it's mutual love from the beginning, man. He's awesome. He's awesome. Everything that he came in with the hype, he's lived up to it. He's big, fast, strong, physical. And the thing about it, he's smart and he wants to learn. You know, he's humble, he's grounded, and he continues to work, man. And when coming into the league, we both came in two different ways. He's coming in as a first-round draft pick, and I came in as an undrafted pick, you know. So it's just two different ways that we came into the league, but we're here now working together, man, and I don't like working with anybody better than him.
God, that's such a great point, right, the way you guys came in. I mean, you may have came up in a similar way in the same state, but you came into the league in such different ways. In fact, you came in, as I mentioned, as an undrafted free agent, and then you make the roster, and then you play 16 games as a rookie. What do you remember about that first year and establishing yourself in the NFL?
I remember coming in, and I'm just like, okay, I'm undrafted. I got to make every play. I can't make many mistakes. My room for error is very small. I remember having a solid camp, solid OTAs. Going into the season, I started off in the dime package. I think about like week six, I started in the nickel package, so I upped my reps. I was playing on all special teams. And that was a real, real, real good year for me, real good year for us as a whole. We went to the second round of the playoffs, and it was my first experience. And, you know, they always say, don't take it for granted, you know, because making those playoffs aren't easy. But coming in as a rookie, you make it to the second round, you think it's like that every year, but it's not, man. And I'm going into my sixth season, and that's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking forward to.
Jahlil Adai, my guest. All right, to that point, I mean, the odds on undrafted free agents sticking with a team are low. The odds on them sticking with a team and lasting more than a year are even lower. And yet, here you are as a starting safety in your sixth season in the NFL. I mean, that type of thing just does not happen. It's not supposed to happen. How are you able to make that happen?
Oh, first and foremost, I think I'm blessed, man. I think I'm blessed for the man upstairs. I give all the credit to him, but I come in from a strong family background where we're taught to just work. We're taught to work. Nothing's ever given to you. Everything is earned. I just work each and every day. I always felt like I was good enough to play in the league. Obviously, like everybody, you feel like you should have been drafted. And I think that's a chip on my shoulder that I carry around. I think that I carry that chip on my shoulder, and I want to let all the other 31 teams know that with that pass up on me, they made a mistake.
Former baseball player Sean Casey said on the program last week, Jahlil, you got to collect chips. You have to collect chips, and then you use them. You know, you mentioned your strong family background. Your mother, Jennifer, last week was one of three breast cancer survivors to fire the cannon before the start of the game. I want to ask you this because she was diagnosed when you were a rookie. My father had leukemia. I will never forget when he told my sister and I that was the diagnosis. What do you remember about hearing that news? Because I don't care what you've accomplished, how much success you've had as an athlete, there is nothing to prepare you for that, is there?
Nothing at all. And it caught me off guard because both my parents are extremely healthy. And the funny thing about it is my mother actually never told her. She told my dad that she didn't want to tell me because she didn't want to derail me from my focus. So my dad told me, and it was hard for me because I had to keep it from my mother, because my mother would have been upset if she found out that my dad told me, strictly because she didn't want me to lose focus, you know. It was a game in Jacksonville, my rookie year, with breast cancer. But I looked at her in the stands, and I seen her up there. At this time, she didn't know that I knew she had cancer, and I went out and had one of the best games of my rookie season. And after that game, I told her, I said, Mom, I know about what's happening. I'm with you. I'm going to be here with you. Our whole family's here. We're praying for you. After the season, I did a few chemo treatments with her, and the year after that, she was diagnosed, and they said that she was clean of the cancer. And that's just all God, man. We give thanks, and she's healthy now. She shot the cannon last week, and she's one pound brother.
Okay, that's so great. So, what was that like 1 year later when she told you she was cancer free? What was that moment like for you and your family? And then, how much have you learned from your mother and how she's battled cancer the way she has?
Mm-hmm. It was everything, you know, because unfortunately, a lot of families and individuals don't make it through that. So there's not a lot of survivors. But it meant everything. It just showed us that, you know, if our mother can go through that, if our mother can stay strong, if she can fight the fight, but never waver, never show any weak weakness. She's a true superhero. And anything that we go through in life is minor compared to that. So we got to keep our heads up and our chest up and keep it moving.
Jaleel Adai, my guest. I'm so glad that that was a diagnosis, that she's cancer-free, and thank you for sharing that story. Listen, before you go, I mean, six seasons with the Chargers means six seasons of watching and going up against Philip Rivers. As somebody who studies every quarterback in the league, what is it that makes Rivers so different, so unique?
Number one, I think, is his competitiveness. He wants to be the best. He wants to be the best. He wants to know what the defense is doing inside of him. He's smart. He's a competitor. He's fierce. In my opinion, future Hall of Famer, by numbers or just what he's done. And just seeing him, you know, because it's hard. It's hard to be in this league as a quarterback, and he's done it for a very, very long time at a high level. So I'm blessed to be able to see it. I'm blessed to go against him each and every day. When I get out there against quarterbacks on Sunday, they're not Phillip.
Listen, one last thought. The defense has had eight sacks in the last two games, and they've done that without Joey Bosa. And you've got a next man up mentality. How much better is this defense going to be when he comes back? And then what's the ceiling for that unit?
It's going to be crazy because we all know what Bosa brings to the table. Best pass rusher in the game. And we're doing it without him right now. So we're just continuing to work, like you said, that next man up mentality. We're doing it collectively. Safeties, linebackers, defensive linemen are creating sacks, creating pressure. And when he gets back, man, everybody better watch out.
Hey, actually, let me ask you this. You're going to London to play the Titans. I'm really curious about that. I mean, that I've made that trip, and I didn't have to put on any pads. That is not an easy trip. So how do you go about preparing your body for the trip and making sure you're ready to play mentally and physically come Sunday?
We got to just be professionals. It's our job. You know, we can't mess around. We got to know that we're on a two-game business trip. We came out to Cleveland, got a win. Now we're looking forward to Tennessee and London. Coach has given us a schedule for us to sleep and collectively as a unit to when to go to sleep and when to wake up, so you give your body the best chance of being up on in London with the crazy time difference. So that's the biggest thing. We're going to come out here and work, watch film, take it every week, take this week like every week, and just continue to work like a Charger, and we'll see what happens.
Chargers 4-2 coming off that win against Cleveland. They're 4-2 in the AFC West, and they will be in London to take on Tennessee. Jaleel Adai, my guest. Jaleel, great to have you on the show. Nice job. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate you.
That was fun. Appreciate you, too. Good job. Guys, great story. Undrafted 6 years in and making plays. Big, big effort. Big win yesterday. Batman.
I'm Batman.
Like I said, the Browns were feeling very good about themselves. A lot of buzz, a lot of momentum, and the Chargers punched them in the head. And then you had last night's game, too. 1-800-636-8686. Hammering the phone number because we are open until hour number three now. In fact, we are open until the very last segment of the show. Now is the time to call. It's getaway day. Monday normally is not a getaway day. I'm going to be in New York and doing the show from our CBS Sports Radio studios in New York tomorrow. And the reason I'm going to New York is because there is a sports and technology conference. Dana White is part of that. Dana and I are going to sit down and have a conversation as part of that deal. So I will be in New York tomorrow for that. It is a getaway day today. But between now and hour number three, we are wide open. This email reads, Rome Slice. What a freaking game last night. The next face of the league facing the GOAT. And he makes the GOAT score 43 for the win. It's tough to see the Chiefs' barn door error defense go out and lay an egg like that. But it gives hope to the beaten down fan base. This is not your same old Chiefs team. With Patty Ice there, I'm ready for a January rematch. War Mahomes being the face of the Shield for the next 20 years. Unworn, no penalties on the Pats. Tom in Dallas. You know, there's something different. Again, if I'm going to leave this show with a take on the team that lost, that would tell you this is not the same old Chiefs. You know, in years past, I've talked about the Chiefs. The same old Chiefs. Not getting it done when it mattered. Notice I'm not saying that. Notice I led the show by saying there's no such thing as a good loss, but if there is, that was one. They played their asses off. Rome. Any chance the Raiders just leave John Gruden over there in London? 3 points? Are you kidding me? If you're making $10 million a year, you best at least get that team prepared enough to score a TD. Wore John Gruden eating twice as many meals as his team scored points yesterday. Dan in Denver, RTN. Dan, the best thing that ever happened to you has got nothing to do with anything that happened to Denver. The best thing that ever happened to you was the Raiders hiring John Gruden. You matter again on this show, Dan, if in fact you ever matter to begin with. Seriously, the best thing that ever happened to that guy, Dan in Denver, remember the name? Is that the Raiders hired Gruden. And finally this. Hello, Mr. Jim Rome. I was wanting to reach out to you about getting an apology for your harsh words towards me and my team. With a blowout win like we had, I can say for sure that the silver and black are back. Sincerely, Vertigo. Unwore adults who have their last name put on a jersey. What a disastrous day for the Raiders. If you're going to go all the way to London, go to the trouble to go to London, you better win. And you sure as hell better not get humiliated and beaten down. And that's what happened to the Raiders. Open phones next hour. Don't go anywhere.